for Selectus versus Seattle Children's Research. It doesn't look like it.
Please, the court. My name is Salvatore Rigo for Selectus, the appellant. For many years, scientists have been keeping laboratory records of potential inventions following very strict guidelines as to the form and maintenance of those records. The reasons for doing this are very simple. By following these strict guidelines, the scientists might be able to rely on these invention records as evidence under the business records exception. Otherwise, these records are considered hearsay. That is, a statement other than one made by the declarant while testifying at the trial or hearing, offered in evidence to prove the truth of the matter asserted. However, according to the PTAB's decision, scientists do not need to follow these strict guidelines. Rather, all they need to do is have the scientist who generated these records testify about these records, and they become substantive evidence. This is not the law. Rather, the FRE precludes the PTAB's decision. To begin, nearly all of SCRI's documentary evidence is hearsay. First, they are statements according to FRE 801 because they are written assertions. Second, they were not made by the declarant while testifying. And third, they have been offered in evidence to prove the truth of the matter asserted.
Well, that's what you're saying, and that's not what the board decision said. So we're reviewing the board decision as the question in front of us, not what your brief says. So the board first said, well, we're not relying on the lab notebooks, if you will, to prove the truth of it. We're relying on the statement by the declarants. And secondly, even if you're looking at the lab notebooks, they're being used to refresh the recollection, which is an exception to the hearsay rule.
I think it would be fine to refresh the recollection, but that doesn't make the notebook records evidence. It doesn't get them into the case. If we wanted, if Selectus, the appellant, wanted to get them into the case, we could introduce
that's
them.
If you want to introduce them as a, as an exhibit.
Yes, we don't want to.
They can be used by the declarant to refresh the recollection.
The board's decision
said that's what they did, and that's what the red brief goes on and on and on and on, pointing out where the witness is saying this is refreshing my recollection. So to me, you have two hurdles. One, that the board decision says we weren't relying on that for the truth of the matter stated, A, which would mean it isn't hearsay at all. They're saying, or if it was hearsay, we're not relying on it. We rely on the declaration. And then to the extent that you're worried about hearsay, they say, well, it's an exception because it's being used to refresh the recollection.
I think the problem with that is that's not what the decision does. The decision actually reproduces large portions of the laboratory notebooks.
You're talking about the decision or the declaration?
The decision itself reproduces parts of the laboratory notebooks into the
right, but I mean, it's fair enough, isn't it, for the board to characterize in its view what the declaration is saying. They're reproducing the note, the declarant statement, taking the reference to show the notebook, right?
Well, I think FRE 803 doesn't allow the declarant to bring that into their declaration. It is a...
Although if the declarant had been sitting there testifying and the declarant said, I'm a little hazy here, I did this, but I'm a little hazy on the details, I could certainly use a refreshment of my recollection, and her counsel hands her the notebook, not as an exhibit, but hands her the notebook and said, well, if you look at this page, does that refresh your recollection? You would have no objection to that, right?
I think that would be a fair use of the document, yes.
So why isn't that what happened here?
It's not what's happened here because they've actually reproduced the actual laboratory notebook into the declaration, which has now ended up in the decision. And basically what we're looking at here
Form over substance case?
I think there's a lot of form problem here, yes, absolutely. The form, would it have been okay for the declarant to say, this is what I remember? Yes, but that's not what the declarants did. The declarants say, this is what my laboratory notebook says. And that's not the evidence. However, there's over 100 different exhibits.
The declarant stated, I reduced the invention to practice on such and such a date.
Yes.
And then they say, here are the details that refresh my recollection as to that statement.
And it gives the appearance as if there's a lot of evidence to support that.
And you didn't cross-examine any of that?
We can't cross-examine the laboratory notebooks, no. We can only cross-examine what they said about them. Yes.
Well, even if you're right that to the extent that the declarant was relying on a particular document, a lab notebook, for his testimony, maybe that's inadmissible. But there was a lot of testimony that wasn't specifically simply adopting their lab notebook. So I think one of the problems you have in my mind is even if you're right, and I agree with you on the hearsay with regards to the lab notebook, there's a lot of other evidence here that creates the substantial evidence for the fact finding. Not everything is out. The whole declarations are not out, only the portions which rely on the hearsay.
Let's just look at the declarations. If we actually go through and look at each of the declarations, there's two declarations that came in from inventors, and there's two declarations that came in from corroborators.
Yeah, Dr. Karinga.
Karinga.
And
yes.
Jar-Jar?
It sounds like something. Jar-Jar.
Okay, because it sounded to me like something out of a Star Wars movie. You know, for a minute there, I was trying to wrap my head around these names. Go ahead.
And there's one more. There's one more declarant who's an expert who simply testifies about what the laboratory notebook means. So that's 100% virtually.
But doctors
hearsay.
Karinga and Jar-Jar.
Yes.
Sorry if I'm mutilating these names. They both testified completely different from the lab notebooks. One testified that, she did her own lab experiments after learning about the invention, right? Didn't she?
She says that she did some experiments, yes. She did not say that she reproduced the reduction to practice.
And then Dr. Jar-Jar said he supplied materials for the lab tests, right?
He says that he did provide something for one of her experiments, yes.
Well, so why isn't that, corroborating evidence doesn't have to be independently of its own accord the evidence that could otherwise establish a reduction of practice. It just has to corroborate. I mean, that's why, for example, we've had cases where when the inventor says, I built this, I reduced it to practice on such and such a date, and then he introduces receipts showing that he had purchased the products in advance, right? That just tells us he bought the products. Doesn't necessarily say he put it all together that day, but we've held that to be enough to satisfy the corroboration requirement. So why isn't this testimony, which has nothing really to do with the lab notebooks and the hearsay, independently sufficient to uphold the board decision?
Well, I think it does have to do with the laboratory notebooks, but the laboratory notebooks is what's being relied on as the reduction to practice. Now,
the inventors also testified to the reduction to practice.
The inventors testified that they reduced to practice, yes. Now, let's just take that they have testimony that says that.
So the inventor testimony is what is the actual evidence. Then you just need corroboration thereof, and you have these two independent scientists. Why isn't that sufficient? Even if you're 100% right, it seems to me that there's a lot of evidence in this record, even if the board maybe didn't get all of the rules of evidence with regard to the lab notebooks, right?
I think there isn't a lot of evidence in this. If you take out all of what was relied on in the decision in terms of documentary evidence, if all of that comes out as hearsay, which I think it should, then what you have is you have the declarations of the inventors. If you take out all of their statements that reference one of these hearsay exhibits, there is nothing left
in
their declarations. On A33
and A35 of the board opinion, they expressly recognize and cite Karinga's testimony and Jar-Jar's testimony.
Yes.
So it isn't just the lab notebooks that they rely on for corroboration. They specifically cite these others. So I have to look at the record as a whole and say, does it support what the board concluded? These are specifically things they cited.
Yes, but these two corroborators are also citing the same group of hearsay evidence that has to come out. Again, if all of their references to the hearsay...
Not entirely.
Not entirely, but if you X out...
I had trouble in the beginning grasping. It seems to me that your appeal is in two flavors. There is a question about whether or not the declarant's testimony was corroborated, which has to be, right? And I think, personally, I think you've got a weak, potentially a weaker case there because there is some evidence independent of lab notes going towards corroboration, and it's an all things considered type test, right? But I finally appreciated what I thought was your lead argument, which is the declarations have to be thrown out.
Yes.
In which case, the whole case collapses. There's nothing to corroborate. And you're saying the declarations have to be thrown out because you, frankly, don't believe the declarant when the declarant is saying, I reduced to practice without reference to my lab note. You're, in essence, saying that it wasn't a refreshing of recollection. It was using the lab notes to testify as to the truth of what they did historically at that point in time.
Yes, I think
when you excise the inventor's declarations, the case collapses. And so it seemed to me that's where I think you've got a weaker case from my perspective on corroboration because there is some evidence wholly independent of the lab notebooks from people saying, well, I was two seats down, I saw what was going on, and we are allowed under the law to create a penumbra, if you will, of touchy-feely, what's going on for the reduction of practice for corroboration. But we don't have that same touchy-feely requirement, in your view, when we assess the quality of the declarations.
Yes,
have I got your argument? I mean, that's what you're really talking about?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you.
You're into your rebuttal. Why don't we hear from the other side? Thank you.
Good afternoon, and may it please the court. Tony Figg for Seattle Children's Hospital. Dr. Guiazza's declaration, which is really what's at issue here, affirmatively stated that she conducted the reduction to practice experiments in April and May of 2010. She described those experiments in great detail in her declaration. She reproduced pertinent parts of her...
When she described it in great detail, she did it with cross-reference to the notebooks.
And I don't know why there is some rule against doing that.
Am I right?
Yes.
So we're just on the same playing field. She had a general statement in her declaration on such and such a historic date, I reduced the invention to practice.
Well,
and then she
it
says,
was more
I
than
took,
a general statement.
I took
statement.
Step one, look at the notebook. I took step two, look at the notebook.
Yes.
I took step three, look at the notebook.
Why don't you just direct us straight to the declaration? Make it easier on yourself. Go to the declaration.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Go to the declaration.
Yes. Well, the declaration.
Open the declaration up. Tell us what paragraph to look at. Tell me where she said, I reduced it to practice on such and such a day.
Well, she said that she reduced to practice in April and May of 2010 at appendix pages 8475 through 88. I mean, this was a lengthy testimony. She reproduced the computer readouts from the instrument in which she measured the results
so
at page 8477.
On page 8475, which is where you sent me to, tell me what she says.
What she says,
which
and I'm
paragraph?
Looking for that in the appendix, but
what
she
paragraph?
She said.
No, I don't. I don't want you to summarize it. I want you to read it to me. I want to talk to you about what's in the appendix.
So, paragraph 17. In these experiments, ICE1 and TREX2 were expressed on different vectors when delivered in HEK cells. For example, in the fourth sample.
Okay, but that doesn't say when. So where's the when?
I'm having trouble
referring to the seven that are listed above.
Yes.
And the seven lifts above are from page 17 of the lab notebooks?
Yes. But Your Honors, I think if I can just
add... I mean, that's saying in these experiments, i.e. the experiments that are reflected in my lab notebooks.
Yes, we don't dispute she referred to her lab notebook. But here's the part I think is important.
What I think Judge Moore and I recollect that there is something in the declaration where, independent of reference to the lab notebooks, she said, I reduced the invention to practice on such and such a day. Earlier paragraph.
She testified with reference to her lab notebook, but she had separate affirmative statements that she combined these two enzyme activities.
Can I ask you, I've never, ever, ever asked for this before, but are you a member of our bar?
Yes.
Can you stand up next to him?
Yes.
Will you tell me, because you seem to know the record better.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not uncommon. People hire an experienced person, but then a younger person knows the record. Don't take this insultingly. Where is what I'm looking for?
Yes, Your Honor. On paragraph 25, which is on APPX 8478, there's a statement from Dr. Gwiazda that based on the data she collected on April the 12th, 2010, she understood that the activity of endonuclease that cleaves at the selected nucleic acid sequence is coupled with the activity.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. Do not be mad at him. Be appreciative later.
No, I'm appreciative
of
that.
Okay, all right.
But I think...
I made him do it.
Okay. And I appreciate your doing that, Your Honor. But I would also like to say this. She reproduced in her declaration these experimental procedures and results from her laboratory notebook. She took those from her notebook, put them in the declaration. She swore that her declaration was based on her personal knowledge. She swore that the statements made in her declaration were true. The board said, we are basing our decision on her in court or in proceeding testimony, which is not hearsay.
The board then went on to say that she was, in essence, you heard my discussion with your colleague, that the board was saying she, in essence, was refreshing her recollection as she wrote her declaration by reference to the lab notebooks.
Yes, and Rule 612 allows for witness
but
to do that.
That's the board sort of saying, well, to the extent that you're not happy with paragraph 25 as a sufficient declaration as to the truth of the matter of reduction of practice, the board was saying, in that case, to the extent that you're troubled by the specific details related to by the lab notebooks, that was refreshing her recollection.
Yes, and the board made that point and referred to Rule 612. And I don't really think there is a dispute among the parties that a witness is entitled to refer to her documents.
Well, that's why I was asking whether this is a form over substance case. If the case had been that she simply came in and all she had was paragraph 25 in her declaration, the other side got up and said, that's pretty skinny. And she says, well, golly, if I could only refresh my recollection, I could help you out a lot, in which case you would whip out the lab notebooks and she would refresh her recollection. And we would end up with exactly the same record we have in front of us now.
I think that's true. But I also think a witness is entitled to say, here is a document where I recorded what I did.
Well, this sort of seems to be a new way of doing it and the last few interferences that we'll ever see, right?
Maybe.
I mean, I've never seen an interference case in which the declaration mixed the lab notebooks into the declaration.
Yes, well, I mean, but I don't know of any rule against that.
That's the question.
And she put those statements in. She said, this is what I did. This is when I did it. These are the results I obtained. And that was all sworn in court testimony. It's not hearsay.
So that's now, the affirmative assertion, accepting everything you say. This declaration is the affirmative assertion of earlier reduction to practice. What is the corroborative evidence? Because I have trouble with the lab notebooks themselves being the corroborative evidence, given that there's no independent authentication of them. And with all due respect, and I don't believe that she did this, but she could have written them the day before at home. Most lab notebooks do follow a strict protocol in the way in which they're recorded or co-signed by lab partners or things like that to independently authenticate the dates of their creation. There is no such thing here.
Yeah, the corroboration, as Your Honor pointed out a few moments ago, was the independent testimony of Drs. Karinga and Jarjour. And it's a rule of reason case.
Do you think
case.
The board relied on the lab notebooks at all as part of the corroboration?
They did not rely on the lab notebooks for corroboration. They relied on their testimony about what they saw, experienced in that laboratory, where they said they were all in very close physical proximity. They were generally aware of what each other were doing. Dr. Jarjour testified that he observed some of the experiments that were reported in her declaration, which also were reported in her lab notebook. Dr. Jarjour said, I provided one of the enzymes to her that she used for doing these reduction to practice experiments. Dr. Karinga said, I was aware of her work. I knew she was successful. And for that reason, I built on that work and did experiments falling within the count in primary cells rather than the transformed cells. So,
and do you understand the board decision as having relied on that evidence as the corroborative evidence? Because as you know, under the APA, this isn't like a jury trial where if there's anything in the record at all that could possibly support the verdict, we leave the verdict alone. Right. We have to review the board on the rationale it gave, not look at all the evidence and say, well, clearly the record supports it. We have to look at the rationale the board gave.
I believe the board referred to exactly what I just told you about, that the board talked about the fact that...
Where would you point me to for that, for the corroboration?
Well, maybe the best place to look at what the board relied on for corroboration is their decision on rehearing, which starts at appendix page 1806. But they walked through the testimony of Drs. Jarjour and Dr. Karinga. They pointed out that Dr. Karinga did her own experiments starting on June 3rd of 2010, because she was aware of
Dr. Wiatza's
testimony.
I don't see this, and I'm on 1806, which is where you directed me, which is just the first page of the opinion. So show me where it is that the board explained what it was using for corroboration.
Yeah, fortunately, I was just on the page. So Dr. Karinga testifies, I'm at page, appendix page 1813. Dr. Karinga testifies that she recalls Dr. Wiatza presenting certain data at lab meetings. Dr. Karinga also testifies to the motivations for her own work at the time based on Guiadza's results. Similarly, Dr. Jarjour testifies that he observed certain of Guiadza's experiments, having contemporaneous discussions about the results and participating in presenting the results.
So even if there may have been some earlier infection in the board's opinion with regard to the lab notebooks, they cite and give as a rationale for corroboration these other two things, which are not specifically and exclusively the lab notebooks.
Yes, I agree with that. Okay. I think the main objection that is being raised here is simply that they refer to the notebooks in their declaration. Dr. Guiadza refers to the notebooks in her declaration, but the board says referring to the notebook in the declaration does not mean we are relying on the notebook for its truth. We're relying on her testimony. And I would just say that you mentioned jury trial. This is not like a jury trial where the jury might be prejudiced by referring to evidence. Here, the board was fully capable of evaluating the evidence and did so, and explained what it relied on and what it did not rely on. And I would say that we cited several reasons in our briefing that these documents are admissible. But whether they're admissible or not, the declaration establishes that this work was done, what was done, when it was done, and what the results were. And that's what the board relied on. And there was more than adequate corroboration under the rule of reason. The board looked at the totality of the evidence and concluded that it showed that the testimony that Dr. Guiazza, Dr. Certo provided was credible. And I think that in view of that, there's not been a showing that there was an abuse of discretion in the evidentiary rulings, and the rulings on corroboration were supported by substantial evidence.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honors, I would just like to respond to the decision on rehearing and what was said by the judge with respect to Dr. Karinga's testimony. And it says that Dr. Karinga testifies that she recalls Dr. Guiazza presenting certain data at laboratory meetings. See Karinga Declaration, paragraphs 9, 15, and 20. If you look at those three paragraphs, Dr. Karinga is citing evidence that is hearsay. Presentations made by the inventor, which would also be hearsay, simply statements, out-of-court statements by the inventor.
Yeah, but, okay, so, like, I looked at all the paragraphs as soon as he pointed me to it. Like, on 8507, Jarjour, which is paragraph 15, which they cite, likewise refers to one of the lab notebook exhibits. But what he says is, I review this and I recall observing these experiments and having contemporaneous discussion. I recall I provided this on April 4th to April 8th. That isn't I'm relying on the lab notebooks to supply me with information about when I recall this occurring. This is an affirmative recollection by this person as to a particular date.
Dr. Georgia was asked about what he meant by recalling these experiments, and he said he was in the same room.
He says what?
That he was in the same laboratory when they occurred. He didn't testify that he stood there and watched the experiment, any of the particular experiments occur.
I don't understand how that undermines anything. While he happens to mention the lab notebook here, it is not providing the foundation for his testimony. He is expressing his independent understanding. You started with
yes.
Dr. What was her name again?
Karinga.
I moved you to Jarjour because this to me seems like the clearest place in my mind, paragraph 15, where there's clear corroboration.
Well, I think everything that's coming from 15 is coming from the inventor. The inventor is telling him through Exhibit 2061 what I did.
He said, I reviewed that and I recall I was there on these days when this was done. He doesn't say, and based on looking at the lab notebook, or because of the lab notebook, I remember it's these days. Claims he remembers it's these days. Maybe one of those days is one of his kids' birthdays. I don't know. But he makes an affirmative assertion as to the days that he recalls it occurring on, not refreshed by the lab notebook. I hear you on the hearsay, and I hear you that it kind of infected the board's decision. But they did cite other things, which it seems to me. I just want to make it clear to you where my head is. I feel your pain on the hearsay point. I do. I just see that they cited other things, and under the substantial evidence standard, I don't see how you can end up getting the relief you want. And that's not a question. I'm just trying to give you the insight into what's going on in my head, at least.
Sure. I think that what the problem here really is that all of this evidence so to speak, the documentary evidence is hearsay. And the citations to it throughout the entire declarations have infected those declarations in such a way that the declarations should not be, should also be considered hearsay in their entirety. That you can't go through and pick out one sentence in here and figure it out. And even that paragraph 15 refers to her laboratory notebook.
The problem you've got in my mind is that we're reviewing a board decision, and the board says, given everything you just said, we weren't relying on the out-of-court statements for our decision. We were relying on the declarations or what the direct testimony was that people said they did. So we have a little bit of a problem of saying, well, the board's lying. They aren't telling the truth. They actually have to, they have to have been relying on the notebooks. That's your point. And I just sort of have a hard time getting there.
No, I think the board can say that they were relying on the declarations. The problem is the declarations
were relying
on the notebooks.
On the notebooks for the truth of the matter. That's what they say that in the opinion.
But the declaration did rely on the those exhibits.
But that, what I'm saying is that means what the board is saying is we're relying on something in the declaration other than the hearsay. That's what I read the board to be saying. And
they,
to me, that's then a hard case for you.
They haven't pointed out what that is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We thank both sides in the case is submitted.